another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.
Hi, this is Jack Spirko with today's episode of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the world recorded during a 50-mile commute on a daily basis. Today's edition is going to be about class warfare and the constant misdirection that our government uses to convince us that it's you against me and me against you instead of, let's put it this way, us against them. I was actually going to do a podcast today about the need for salt in your survival planning. That was my plan, and I had a little outline put together. And I don't ever do scripts, but I usually do have an outline to lead me through a script, and I had one prepared for the salt thing. And some I'm going to do later, and it's probably a 5-minute podcast. It's going to be a little more in-depth. Maybe it's going to just be kind of me making a little bit of this just basically a rant. And hopefully for some of you, I think it just feels good to hear somebody else rant a little bit about the things that bother you so you know you're not alone. What prompted this is this morning I was in a chat forum, actually the forum on Backwoods Home Magazine, looking at some issues, including global warming and gun rights, and I noticed that that forum is now inhabited by some people you would expect on a forum like that, more, let's call them extremely liberal in nature. They believe in global warming melting the ice caps. One guy actually thinks that there will be no ice at all in the North Pole polar ice cap by the end of this year. That would be the winter in the Northern Hemisphere. So by December, there'll be no ice in the northern polar cap. It's ridiculous. I mean, even the most staunch proponent of global warming doesn't think that that's going to happen. If there's an article and this guy in it, you know, how does this come down to class warfare? Well, here's how it works out. I watched this partisan bickering start, and I actually did a post that goes along kind of with the podcast I did yesterday that was about how much money the government borrows and how much money the government wastes. And, you know, that immediately got made into a partisan discussion as well. And what I've realized is that most of America is completely asleep to the fact that when we have Democrats controlling Congress, they spend more and they borrow more. When we have Republicans controlling Congress, they spend more and they borrow more. When we have a Republican in the White House, he spends more and he borrows more. And when we have a Democrat in the White House, he spends more and he borrows more. If you look up the edition from yesterday on the survivalpodcast.com and take a look at the report that I linked to, you'll notice something about the debt in this country, the spending in this country. It goes up. It goes up every year. It keeps going up. And those reports start in 1957, okay? And those, and the line, the only thing about the lines that change is they get steeper the closer they get till now. Meaning that Bill Clinton and George Bush, both with different bodies controlling the Congress and the Senate at different times. We've had it all Democrat, we had it all Republican, we had a Democrat-Republican, we had a Republican-Democrat. And all through that time, both of those administrations spent money and borrowed money faster than any in the history of our nation, and they put us deeper in debt than any in the history of our nation. Before I go forward, I'm going to clarify, you know, myself politically, what I consider myself, and make sure that you don't have any misconceptions about where I'm coming from. First of all, I guess I would classify myself in the most honest terms as a libertarian. What I mean by libertarian is I think you should be able to do whatever the hell you want. I really do. If you want to marry your brother, I don't care, even if you're a guy. If you want to gay marry your brother, go ahead. Leave me alone and leave everybody else alone about it. We don't want to hear about it, and we don't want to subsidize it. We don't want to pay for it. And I feel that way about most things. If you want to go out and do something that's destructive in your life, it's your choice. Go ahead and do it. Just don't ask myself and the other taxpayers to pay for your problems that you create or subsidize your behavior. And to me, that's a very constitutional view of our nation. We don't need to get into legislating morality. We need to provide people with the ability to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and make sure that we follow our Constitution. If we do that, most of these problems would solve themselves. The way I voted historically has been Republican. Not because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool, I believe the Republican mantra and I drank the Kool-Aid. It's because I believe in less government and lower taxes and less spending. And at least the Republicans talk a good game. Now, the Democrats basically tell me they're going to tax me and they're going to spend. Well, I don't want that. Now, unfortunately, the Republicans come in and are not going to do it. They do it anyway. But, you know, at least I have that. And I'm big on the Second Amendment, and Republicans have historically supported the Second Amendment. So those two issues have had me predominantly vote Republican. I voted for Ron Paul in the primaries. That'll give you another indication of my libertarian view. And whenever I've had the opportunity to vote for a libertarian candidate on a ballot, I've picked the libertarian candidate. Libertarians believe pretty much what I've already said. You can do whatever you want, just don't ask us to pay for it. We don't believe in regulating business, and we don't believe in regulating individual lives. We believe that people should be able to go out and do whatever they want to do as long as they're not hurting anybody else. That might sound like an oversimplified view, but if you look at the fact that our Constitution and a very small amount of supporting legislation that was smaller than the average metropolitan phone book and yellow pages combined took care of our country quite nicely between 1776 and 1913. Then we had a little thing called the Federal Reserve System. And we brought in the beginnings of entitlements, and we brought in the federal income tax. After that, we then went on through a period of moronic prohibition, which created an entire economy built on illegal alcohol, and then went through the Great Depression. We came out of the end of the Great Depression from being a strong, independent nation to being a debtor nation, and we've been on a downhill path into debt ever since, both at the government and consumer and business levels. That's where we've come from. That simplistic view protected our nation for over 100 years. That simplistic view carried us through a civil war with brother killing brother for the freedom of men who should have been free from the beginning. That simplistic nature was all we needed. And all of this laborious crap that we've added on has done nothing but drain us of our resources and drain the American people of their wealth. You see, most of the people in this nation were what were considered extremely wealthy by the rest of the world in the early 1900s and going back into the 1800s because they owned land. Most Americans owned land during that time. Most of them were farmers and they farmed their own land, but that intrinsic value of the land was their wealth. As people began to move into the cities and work, before the days of excessive taxation, it was actually relatively easy for a person, even during the great industrial revolutionary times and the sweatshops and everything, it was still relatively easy for a person to find a decent job and start saving money relatively quickly because very little of it went into any kind of tax. It was when all of this laborious code and crap got lumped into our system that everything went wrong. And that leads me to today's real meat of our topic, which is class warfare. You see, to keep us paying the money, to keep us on the treadmill, to keep us paying, you know, that 15% into the Social Security and Medicare trust funds, which is what we really pay, because your employer's matching what you pay. Even when we know that if we're 30-ish, forget it. You're not getting one dime of your money. It's not going to be there. It's going to be insolvent. Both sides of the aisle are telling you that right now. There will be no Social Security for people in their 30s. There may be none for people in their 40s. There definitely won't be a dime left for people in their 20s. But you have to pay it. You have to pay it because we have an obligation to the old people that already paid their money in. Now, the reason the money's not there is not because there's not enough money going in to supply what those programs need. It's because it's been robbed, stolen, and spent on other government programs and bullshit pork barrel expenses. That's what it's been spent on. Total, complete crap that most Americans don't want, don't need, and don't even know about. That's what your government is doing with your money. They're stealing it, spending it, and what they can't afford, they borrow to cover. To the tune, as we discussed yesterday, of $9 trillion. And they waste, and they waste, and they waste. They spend, and they spend, and they spend, and then they borrow, and they borrow, and they borrow. How the hell do they get away with it? Well, they get away with it by using a magician's trick. Misdirection. And that misdirection is class warfare. They pit the black man against the white man. They pit the man against the woman. They pit the gay against the straight. They pit the migrant worker or illegal alien, depending on whether or not that person's here legally. You know, those two words should not be used interchanged. But they pit the immigrant against the Native American citizen, who's not even a Native American citizen, who's been here at tops maybe six generations or seven generations for most Americans. And most Americans have probably been here 4 to 5. So we're not even Native. But you know what I mean? They pit the new immigrant against the old world immigrant, right, who's now become a full American. They pit us all against each other. And I'm going to go through and show you how some of these things, if we followed the Constitution, wouldn't matter. Let's talk about a really hot subject right now, illegal immigration. Let me be clear, I am not soft on this. I want the border closed. I do not want people to be able to just walk across the Rio Grande River, because you don't have to swim in most places, it's pretty shallow, take a stroll through the desert, show up here, start working, steal somebody's identity so they can get a social security number, and falsely affect the tax status of a citizen. I don't want that. But I can solve the problem right now. It's very simple. You know what? If we didn't provide illegal immigrants with Medicare and Medicaid and all types of benefits and free education, and not even the ones that trick the system, but the ones that we know are illegal, we open up the vault. You know what? An American citizen cannot get certain things done. If an American citizen shows up at a hospital emergency room, don't think for 1 minute they're not going to get health care. Don't believe in that lie. That's bull crap. An American citizen that shows up at an emergency room will get the care that they need to keep them alive. I guarantee you, they show up with a knife stuck in you, they'll take it out, they'll stitch you up, they'll give you pretty good quality care. But you will sign something that will indebt you to that hospital for the rest of your natural life. And if you don't pay them, sooner or later they will come after you. They will have some asset of yours seized to pay the bill. You're going to pay the bill. Not if you're an illegal alien. If you're an illegal alien, you're never going to pay the bill. The government will fund some portion of your cost with taxpayer money, and the hospital ends up beating the rest. This is not a balanced system. This is not an equal system. Take away that type of thing, and the problem will eventually correct itself. Because the American worker doesn't really resent the guy that's out on the road working his brains out, no matter where he comes from. You know what he resents? He resents when he takes his little kid to the emergency room because she got hurt really bad, and some illegal immigrant that's not going to pay his bill is in line in front of him at the emergency room. That's what he represents. So fix what these people resent. That's what they really resent. They resent that their schools are being forced to teach in Spanish. That's what they resent. So fix that. Quit putting huge government subsidies into our school system to provide education in a bilingual format. Quit hiring illegal aliens as teachers because you need bilingual teachers. This is America. We speak English here. When you come here, learn English. You know, if we did these basic things, one land, one language, one culture, a melting pot, not a balkanization location, which we're trying to turn America into. We're balkanizing Americans together now. We have a Mexican-American, we have a European-American, we have an Asian-American. No, no, no more hyphens. Real hyphens. Governed by the Constitution. You know what? Most people get along just fine. Most people, in spite of this, get along just fine. Let's move on. Let's move on to another classic misdirection that's been given to the American people to convince you that you need to be a good Republican and stand strong, or be a good Democrat and stand strong. And I want you to think, right now, if you're more predominantly a Republican, okay? I want you to just stop being a Republican while you listen to this next 2 minutes here. Think as a Democrat right now. Think as a Democrat that's thinking about coming over to the Republican side. How does this argument entrench you into your stance as a Democrat? If you're a Democrat, I want you to think the other way. Think for now that you're a Republican, and how does this stance entrench you on that side? And you'll realize that, okay, it entrenches them, and it entrenches me, so who benefits when we stay entrenched? Here it is. gay marriage. The conventional question today is, are you for or opposed to gay marriage? Now, see, the question is aggravational in and of itself. Why must we be for or against everything? What does it matter? Am I for or against gay marriage? The honest answer is, I don't care. And you shouldn't either. It doesn't affect you if Tom marries John or Sally marries Mary. It does not affect you in the least bit. The question we should be asking in the first place is, does government even have a role in the institution of marriage? You see, the religious right element that typically says, we can't let them get married. It's an abomination. On and on and on. You know what they'll tell you? That a marriage is an institution between man, woman, and God. I think you're absolutely right. Marriage is an institution between man, woman, and God. I don't think that marriage should be an institution between man, woman, God, and the state. All right? The state's involvement is the issue. Why do people oppose this? Because married people get certain rights that unmarried people supposedly don't. It's not even true. You know what married people get to do in this country? By and large, we get to pay a larger income tax than two single people making the same amount of money claiming themselves as individuals. So the big right that we'll give gays if we let them get married in this country is paying more tax and having marriage status. The other issues are things like, you know, getting health care for a partner. Well, most places now are beginning to recognize domestic partnerships and do that anyway. It's not necessarily being done by the federal government. You see, look, take the federal government's involvement and take the state government's involvement out of marriage. Take marriage back to being, if you're religious, between you, your partner, and God, and if you're not religious, between you and your partner. Take marriage back to what it is, right? And wow, all of a sudden, it just stops being an issue. Because if two people say they're married, who are you to say that they're not? Even if you don't agree with it. And I'm not a big gay rights activist here, folks. Like I said, the real answer to this is I just don't care because it doesn't really affect me. And it doesn't really affect you either. You've been led to believe that this affects you. And if you're a Democrat, you've been led to believe that this affects you too. I don't know how many people I know that are very much of the liberal mindset, the Democratic mindset of today anyway, that are for gay marriage. For it. They're not gay. They don't know anybody that's gay. They don't have any involvement with anybody that's gay. It doesn't really affect them. And I know people that are on the right wing of society, they couldn't tell you a single person that's gay that ever impacted their life negatively in any way, but they're opposed to it. All right? If you're opposed to something for religious reasons, keep it within the people in your religion. I'm sorry. It's that simple. The Constitution guarantees you your freedom of religion, right? It guarantees, and whether you believe this or not, it guarantees my freedom from your religion. When Republicans come out and say, well, the Constitution gives freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, they're full of crap. That's the same kind of nonsensical argument that liberals make about the Second Amendment. Oh, it gives people the right to bear arms in the militia, and that was for 1776, not today. Everything's changed now, and, you know, come on now. You know, we got to look at this a different way. No, we don't look at things a different way. We don't look at things a different way than we did when the law of the land was put down on paper. Law of the land was simple. So, I mean, I want you to start thinking about this. Every time you feel polarized on an issue, then you have to turn back and say, what has the government really done in this respect? And the answer in most cases is nothing. Nothing at all. We've had Democrats and Republicans arguing about what we need to do with Social Security. Al Gore wanted to put it in a lockbox. I'm sorry, he was president for 8 years under Bill Clinton, who also was supposed to be strong on preserving social programs and a social future. Neither one of them did a damn thing to protect the Social Security Trust Fund. It was looted and pillaged during their administration, just like it was looted and pillaged during Bush 1, just like it was looted and pillaged during Reagan, just like it was looted and pillaged during Carter's administration, just like George W. Bush II has done in his administration. It's always been the same. They have you argue about it so they can do the same thing no matter what, and you will forgive them. The Democrats look at their Democratic Congress and they go, well, it's Bush in the way. He's being obstructionist. I mean, oh, I can't believe how they could get so much done if it just wasn't for him. Yeah, well, how many vetoes has the guy issued since the Democrats took over? Very, very few. And he vetoed nothing when the Republicans were there. And then when Clinton was in office, right, and the Republicans took over the House and the Senate in the big revolution of the 90s, and everything was going to change, and it didn't, what did everybody say? Oh, well, you know, it's Bill Clinton. I mean, he's obstructionist. And, you know, these Republicans could get so much more done if they just had a Republican in office. And it would all be better then, blah, blah, blah. How, you know what? Clinton vetoed very little legislation, too. All right? If you have a president and a Congress that are truly at odds, then the Congress should be putting bills in front of the president and making him veto them. Right? The Democrats say, oh, we want to pull us out of Iraq. Fine. Put legislation in front of the president. If it doesn't, make him veto it. They're not doing it. Why? Because it's all in this direction. Because the Democrats in Congress are not trying to get us out of this war any more than the Republicans are. All the Democrats are trying to do is make the Republicans look bad with the war, not get it ended. Okay? It's that simple. I mean, you just got to start using some logic and common sense, folks. And if you're going to be survival-minded, if you're going to start building a future for yourself that's independent of the screw-ups that our nation makes, of the screw-ups that a lot of our people make, of the screw-ups that our business makes, then you got to stop being misdirected. You got to stop watching a magician pull a quarter out of somebody's ear and going, oh, wow, that's amazing. Right? It's not amazing. You're just watching them scratch their leg with their left hand while they're palming the quarter in their right hand. That's what all these guys are doing. Bush came in. I'm going to privatize Social Security. Everybody, that's great. Oh, we can't do that. One side or the other. What happened? Nothing. Bill Clinton came in office, and Hillary was going to save us all with universal health care. Right? Clinton was all for it, and I mean Bill was all for it. Did it happen? No. Non-starter argument. Didn't happen. Would it happen this time? It might. But if it does, it's going to happen because they all want it, not because one side won. They do these things when they make the most sense. The entire government is set up. It's a behemoth to spend your money and tax you. You think about this, they have no source of income other than your pocket. The government doesn't make a profit in anything. They lose money in everything that they do. Let me bounce this one off you. You got to start understanding how screwed up this is. Like I said, you put about 15% of your income for your entire life into Social Security. I know you don't see that much, but that's how much goes in. You contribute $1,000, let's say, this month into Social Security, or $1,000 this quarter into Social Security. Your employer matched it, dime for dime, penny for penny, dollar for dollar. It was $2,000 to win in that fund under your name. You retire at the poverty level. Plain and simple. That's what you're going to do. You're going to retire at the poverty level on Social Security if there's any money left. That's the people that are getting their money today. 50% of their money for most of their lives, retire at the poverty level. Take 10% of your money, put it into decent mutual funds, at least decent at the time. I don't know that I take that approach today, but if you had done it during all this time that these people ended up in poverty, 65, they're multimillionaires. On two-thirds of the money the government uses to make you subsistent, subservient, poor, and dependent. Class warfare, folks. You against your neighbor so that you don't pay attention to your clown in Congress, so you don't pay attention to your two clowns in the Senate, and so you don't blame the president, or so you do blame the president. It's always somebody else's fault. You think about that. That should become, right now, the mantra of our nation. That's what our nation has become. It's always somebody else's fault. Your little kid does something wrong. It's not my fault. It's Tommy's fault. He did it. You run a business, you talk to one of your employees, it's not my fault, it's his fault. You talk to your congressman, it's not my fault, it's the president's fault. The president comes out, it's not my fault, it's the Congress's fault. It's not my fault. It's not his. It's his fault. It's not my fault. It's her fault. It's not your fault. It's your neighbor's fault. It's a game. Get with it. Get on board. Grab control of the situation. Look how many times you've been told, one side gets in, they're going to do this. That side got in, nothing happened. You're told, your side gets in, they're going to do this. Your side gets in, nothing happens. Right? What happens? More debt, more spending, bigger government. Democrats, more tax, more spending, bigger government. Republicans, more tax, more spending, bigger government. So what's the solution? Throw them all out. I mean, that's really solution. I don't think our nation has the stomach for it. I don't think we have the guts for it. I don't think the average American cares enough to do it. But you really want to fix this? Get you and your neighbor. Be he black, white, gay, straight, lesbian, I don't care. You and your neighbor. Stop fighting with each other. All of you walk down to the polls this November, and wherever you see an incumbent, a little I after a name, vote for the other guy. Throw them all out. You won't do it. No one will do it. It's not going to happen. But it would change everything. It would absolutely change everything. You want to do an exercise in understanding how entrenched the people in our government are, how much of a mafia it really is? You know what? Go to Wikipedia. Start looking up your senators. Start looking up senators in five or six random states. Look how long these clowns have been in office. A lot of these guys have been in office for 30 or 40 years. Look how many of them are 70, 80 years old. They've been in government their entire life. Look how many of your senators have been in office for 20 years, but if you look back, the thing they did before they were a senator is they were a congressman. And they were a congressman for 20 or 30 years. These guys have been in major governmental positions for 40 and 50 years without losing their jobs. Of course they do whatever they want. If you hired an employee and he came to work and screwed off every day, if he pilfered the money from the company, if he wrote expense checks to himself, if he did whatever the hell he liked, showed up when he wanted to, didn't show up when he didn't want to, trashed your company, and you paid him every week, and you never fired him, of course he would keep doing it. And you wouldn't run a business that way. Stop running your country that way. Let's start firing these clowns. Some of the biggest proponents of the issues you care about have sold you out. When it came push to shove. Don't accept that anymore. Start taking more responsibility. Can we change it? Can we turn it around? I'm more pessimistic every day that we'll ever turn it around. I really am. But the only hope is that we start to get a spirit of liberty back into the hearts of our young men and women. And we stop fighting with each other. We stop putting hyphens in our names. You're not a Euro-American, an Asian-American, an African-American. Okay? If you live here, if you were born here, if you have any pride left in your heart when somebody raises the flag and plays the Star Spangled Banner, you should take the hyphen out of your name if you have one before American. You're an American first. Your heritage is important. It matters. My family came from Ukraine. I've learned a lot about the nation that we came from, the reason that we fled it. When we came here, how we came here, why we came here, what we did after we got here. It matters to me. It's part of who I am. But I'm not a Ukrainian hyphen American. I'm an American that happens to be from Ukraine. I suggest you start to get that mentality into you. If you get this mentality in you, a lot of the survival stuff will become second nature to you. You'll start to understand that what you do matters more than what they say matters. You'll realize that sometimes the people that seem to be apathetic are the smartest among us because they know that no matter what they do with who they put in office, it's not going to matter. We're going to end up with a very, very similar result. But what they also know is what they do personally in their own life matters. That's what survivalism is really all about. That's all I got for you today. Tomorrow we'll go ahead and we'll do that little podcast on the importance of salt and your survival planning. If I've offended you today, please do me a favor. Go back and listen to this again. Really think about what I'm saying. Understand, it is not about me against you. It's not about you versus your neighbor. The guy with the bumper sticker that lives on your street that voted for the other guy, he's not the guy you're really at war with. It's the government that's lied to you. It's the government that's stolen your money, that's squandered the inheritance of you, your children, and their children. That's who we should be putting the hard questions to. That's who we should be holding accountable.
Another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler. It really doesn't matter. Gets spent.